Good morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Noral Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name is Jeff Peddle. I've lived in Fort McMurray for over 20 years. And as you know, I had my own businesses here. I was into politics here. And I still work just outside of Fort McMurray here. And I've been collecting rum, I guess, for over 30 years and decided finally to write a book after all the stories.
There it is. Okay, so tell us about your book and your story. I'm very interested to hear about it.
Well, over the years, I've collected over, right now, around 680 bottles. And every bottle comes with a story. So when I started researching and diving into it, it certainly started back from slavery. That, you know, they brought over 12 million slaves over for the making of sugarcane and rum, and then got into pirating, trades, prohibition. So it's just amazing to me the history. It wasn't about the bottle, it was about the history and the stories that came with it. So the more I dived into it, the more I found it absolutely fascinating. And everybody's heard of Captain Morgan, and Captain Morgan was a famous privateer. And so if you're a good pirate and you're really, really bad, the government would hire you and say, you're gonna pirate for us. And after the war stopped, he just kept going. He invaded Panama and Spain and other countries. And then, of course, he was arrested and brought back over, and they said, you can't do that, then good job, keep going. And they made him lieutenant governor of Jamaica. So it was just amazing histories and stories that came with my traveling to over 50 distilleries around the world.
Oh, very cool. So, out of all the rums that you've tasted, do you have a top three, or is it too vast to say?
I think just from the history, Mem Gay in Barbados, I have good friends there, and they were the first ones on paper to record the rum in 1706.
Okay.
And their distillery is in the UNESCO World Heritage Site. And one of the things that amazes me is there's no rivers, lakes, everything comes from underground springs.
Wow.
And so it's just a pure water, like it's amazing history behind that rum. So I certainly prefer to me a Mount Gay rum, an El Dorado rum, Jamaican rum.
Yeah.
But one amazing thing is now is there's over 10 different distilleries in Alberta making rum. And some amazing award-winning rum.
Yeah.
So to me, the rum market is certainly changing, and people before would just go and order rum and coke. Now they're like, you can say, I want something French that's more grassy or Jamaican. And so it's just, I think the rum world is certainly evolving.
Nice. We have some El Dorado over there, I think. I think I have a 12-year-old over there, if I'm not mistaken. Because that comes from Guyana.
Guyana.
And that's where my parents are from. So,
oh, is it?
Oh yeah, my parents are from Guyana. So that for us is like the rum. I've been to the distillery. Like it's a whole, I know a lot about that one, but you probably can tell a better story than I.
Well, people don't realize that everybody here at Demira rum. Demira was a colony and it was actually taken, the British ran everything. So the British owned Newfoundland, the British owned India, they owned everything. And they owned Guyana, but it was first wasn't called Guyana, it was called Demira. And then they took these three colonies, they made British Guyana, which after became Guyana. So that is like the Fort Knox in the rum world. That's where the best rums in the world come from, bar none, because of the soil and the conditions. So that's one of the rums that I'll always recommend to people. That was probably the first collection I started, and people think you can go into a liquor store and you can buy a bottle of 5-year-old or 7-year-old. It took me probably 4 years to complete that whole collection, right up to a 30-year-old.
Wow.
So it took me a long time to actually get there, but for me as a collector, it's about finding every bottle in that family.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you're looking for these bottles, like, is this something that you're going to liquor stores to find? Are you making phone calls? Are you going to distilleries? Like, how does the collection
take place? The best liquor store to me in Canada is in Camrose, Alberta. Country Liquor, and he has over 500 types of rum.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. So this man knows every bottle and the staff knows every bottle and where it's from. So I certainly get him some, but most of mine's been on travel through Guadeloupe, St. Martin. So if I go on vacation, I vacation around distilleries. So I make sure a point of visiting a distillery, making sure they know that I'm coming. So I'm with an amazing group of, it's called the Master Romelet Group. And there's 41 of us in the world. Most of them are authors, own distilleries, so we have good connections. So we, most of my holidays are around distilleries.
Okay. And so is it just, like, rum obviously is your drink of choice. I don't think that's up for question. Is there other drinks that you like to sample, though?
No, mainly I'm just a good old typical rum. I mean, it started off in Newfoundland, and I don't drink whiskey, vodka. I don't drink very much, so I'm more of a collector.
Okay.
And it was basically about the history and the culture of rum. And in this book here, I did a story on Romero. And Romero was the name from Crow's Nest Pass.
Okay.
And it was one of the most famous smugglers' places in Alberta.
Yeah.
And the book talks about Newfoundland and Al Capone. And Al Capone used to go 25 kilometers off Newfoundland to St. Pierre. So when Prohibition happened, he had a hotel, that's where he'd stay, and everybody would go back and forth. So there's certainly a lot of history involved in the rum.
Yeah.
And anywhere you go in the room, like in a world like Guyana, rum is made totally different. So if it's in Brazil, it's just a pure sugarcane juice, which is just French rum, pure sugarcane. Other places, molasses. So every country has a distinct part that they call their own in the rum making.
And so a component of this for you is also the travel.
Correct.
When did you get into traveling like this? Because you weren't traveling to begin with for distilleries, I have to assume.
Yeah, well, no. 30 years ago was the first time I went to China. And I had a lot of rum at that time, so I went to go visit a distillery. It's not in my trip about China's in the book, but not about the story. And here I am in China, and I wanted to go visit a distillery. So I'm going through an interpreter, and he's telling the people what I want. And so he's telling them he wants to take photos, ask questions, and talk to people. So after around 20 minutes, I put it to a halt, because I knew I was going to end up in a prison camp. And I was, you know, it was great because I'd only eat rice for a year and I'd be thin, but there's a lot of other downward stuff that came with me being a spy. So, I did, most of my life has been around distilleries and just been a curiosity.
Okay, that is so interesting. And you're from Newfoundland originally,
correct,
right? What part of Newfoundland?
My father's from Hearts Content, Newfoundland. My mother's from Corner Brook.
Okay.
And Hearts Content is their first cable station. It was pivotal during the war.
Okay.
To send all the messages back and forth. And just up the road is the big beer distillery is called in the Dildo Brewery. And so I'll be there this summer. And in Clark's Beach, 35 minutes away, is Newfoundland Rum Distillery. And they make three types of rum, and some are internationally known now, and they've won lots of awards all across Canada.
Yeah, and there's a lot of breweries popping up there. I was there a few years back, and I was amazed with how many beer breweries they have.
Everybody likes drinking beer. I think, you know, in Alberta there's like 300 or 400 microbreweries now. It's crazy.
Wow.
But the places that are making rum in Alberta now has certainly changed a lot. And what I like is there's a lot of places making homage to the war and vets, and a lot of rum being part of their proceeds being donated back to our veterans.
Yeah, very cool. So with your travels, do you travel by yourself? You said you come with your rumaliers. Do you guys come together like Voltron? Like, how does this work?
So once a year we get together. We meet once a year as a group. And I'm probably in 40 different rum clubs around the world.
Oh, shit.
And
okay.
From Florida to New Orleans to all over.
Yeah.
And but as a group, we meet every year in Barbados, Jamaica, France. We meet everywhere. And we will visit five or six distilleries. And in Barbados, for example, I'll use that one. They have sugarcane research facilities. That's all they do. And instead of making sugarcane, they have 140 different varieties of sugarcane.
Okay.
And they'll use something like a yam and plant a yam and then grind it back into the soil. And that gives them a better sugarcane yield, which enhances the flavor of the rum.
Okay.
So certainly a technical science behind it. And years ago when they made rum, they were actually called scientists. Because they got to make sure that batch of rum they make today is the same 20 years from now.
Right.
So I love the history and everything behind it. And I just found it absolutely fascinating.
I'm going to pull a historical question out of your brain.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the first rum you ever tasted was?
Definitely London Dock. London Dock was definitely...
What a quick shit.
London Dock, and I think being from Newfoundland, just the fact that you thought something was from London was amazing. But when I go back, that with the British owned Newfoundland, Jamaica. So when Newfoundland and Jamaica traded, they didn't have a choice because that's what the British said. That Jamaica, you can only get your fish from here. Newfoundland, you're going to get your rum from, used to be Guyana,
yeah,
but then Jamaica. And I think, you know, growing up, I think I started working at doors and clubs when I was 17 years old, and the drink of choice was London Dock because we always thought it was a bit more popular because it came from somewhere else.
Right.
And on the docks that it was provided for people in the war, to give people a perspective, the private docks that would let 500 boats in just with rum. Mm. So they'd take it all over the world. And at that time, when people got a tot of rum, which was 3 ounces, the low times it was 107,000 sailors up to 315,000. Each one of them had to have 3 ounces a day of rum. Because beer wouldn't work, wine wouldn't work, everything went bad except rum. So, you know, during slavery, a male was traded for 170 gallons of rum, a female 130 gallons of rum, and a child was 60 or 70 gallons of rum.
Wow.
So just the history, to me, was just fascinating.
That's wild. But Tanner tapped his phone, though, so that means he has his questions ready for his segment called the Mac City Minute, brought to you by Carrie and Patchouli Rose. Tanner, hit him with the Mac City Minute.
All right, question number one for you today. What would you describe as the worst rum you've ever drank?
The Rat Pack. I think it's called the Rat Pack. It's a blue bottle made in somewhere in Canada. It tastes absolutely horrible. I usually don't tell the people the horrible rums, but it's the Rat Pack or Rat something. It's a Canadian rum, white rum, blue label. Absolutely horrible.
Question number two. If you could describe yourself as one bottle of rum, what would it be?
Oh, very, very, very good question. I think it would be more of the Mount Gay now, older and wiser. And more mature at this point.
Question number three. What is the best meal you had on your journey to 50 different distilleries?
I think in Barbados, we had a Barbados rum, and it was a coconut rum with a fly fish, and they infused the fish in with the rum. So when we travel, they have a people from around the world, the mixologists, come with us, and they mix all our food and all our drinks. So I think the fly fish in Barbados coconut rum, so they use real coconuts, real coconut water instead of water. Mm. That's probably the best meal I had.
Question number four. What is your favorite rum fun fact?
I think that rum supplied the world, and at the times, just in London Docks, we talked about it was over 56,750,000 bottles sitting on the dock. So it's just crazy that rum was used to feed people around the world and as money.
And your final question, what is one rum you haven't tried yet that you hope you will?
Great question. The one from Tokyo I haven't tried yet, and I'm hoping to have that. So usually when I want a rum, I gotta convince someone to bring it in, I bring in a case. So I'll bring in a case, there's a few of us rum nuts, and I'll say, you want six bottles? And I'll keep six, and then I use others as giveaways, and I donate some.
Those have been your five questions.
So, this Japanese rum that they're making, what's so particular about this?
I think the Japanese are really particular, that it's really crisp, very clean, and people say it's just an amazing tasting rum. Mm-hmm. When you get a rum like Bacardi, it was meant for... it's done in big column stills, mass produce. They can put up to 100,000 bottles a day. The old, like Japan is doing, is pot stills. So the age and the flavor and copper stills, and it's just a different flavor profile. So I've read a lot about it. So I'm hoping to have a case within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, there we go. That is so interesting.
So you're a Cuban Club Havana guy over a Bacardi Club Havana guy then?
Yeah, so I'll give you a 10-second lesson in the book. So when they first bought the distillery in Cuba, Bacardi did, it was full of fruit bats, and they bought it for like $300 our money now, and that's why the bats on the bottle, because it was a sign of prosperity, good luck, and fortune. And before Vidal came and took everything over, they put one in Puerto Rico, they put one in England. So all the Cuban rums today are made in the old Bacardi factory. Everything remained the same. But they have their own distinctive flavor. So in Cuba, I probably have 19 different types of Cuban rum right now.
Fascinating. Because I know my parents watch this, please give us a fun fact about Guyana and what's going on there with the rum, because they're going to watch and be like, oh, that's our hometown.
So Guyana is the Fort Knox in the rum world. So because when the British took over Guyana, I hate to say it, like Newfoundland and other places were just used, the people were using it was just about making rum. So Guyana is the rum capital of the world. So you can't talk about rum unless you talk about Guyana, the people, and it's distinct. So in Newfoundland, we make iceberg rum. Everything comes from Guyana, and it's a Demerara rum. So Demerara was actually a colony of two other places that took over and made into Guyana. Most people in Guyana don't even realize that. Mm-hmm. So it was basically produced, and the whole century, everything they had was built on rum.
Yep. My grandfather managed the sugarcane plantation.
That's amazing,
in Guyana.
See? Very small.
And my dad grew up on the estate.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, like, I've gone back, I've seen it, like, it's nuts.
Yeah, so the history that comes along with that. A couple of, you know, some of the distillers I've met where it's been in their family for 150 years.
Wow.
So the knowledge that gets passed on to me is just absolutely, you know, amazing, and just the heritage and culture that comes with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, to me, Guyana, you can't talk about rum in the world unless you talk about Guyana.
Yeah, that's so interesting. My parents are going to love that segment. Very cool.
I love the gloss over of the plantation.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't, like, yeah, just... I don't know much about it. I went to check it out.
So everything was done by plantations. And when I was in Barbados, there's a place called St. Nicholas Abbey. Yeah. And it's still the plantation, the house, chandeliers made with seashells is in the book. Mm-hmm. And old mahogany trees, it's like going back in time a thousand years. And on the walls, they had pictures of the slave ships that he used to bring them over with.
Wow.
And the walkways are done with bricks with people, families' names on them. Because when the ships come over, sometimes they'd be empty and the bricks would had to weigh them down.
Mm.
So then they took the bricks and that's what they made their walkways with. And the families' names are still in the bricks.
Wow.
So absolutely.
So much history.
Yeah.
And so... have you traced any of your family's history from Newfoundland? Any components that were involved in?
My family's from around Bristol, England, that way.
Okay.
And so nothing to do with the rum trade, but early, it was always just fascinating to me. I think when I left Newfoundland the first time, and everything in Newfoundland is controlled by the Newfoundland Liquor Board.
Okay.
So they say what rums are coming in, what doesn't come in. So when I went away, I was like, man. And I was just fascinated that there'd be 100 rums that I've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where my fascination started. And then I learned about rums and the tasting of rums, and it just became a kind of obsession.
Yeah. It's delicious. Yeah. So there's that. So because you drink rum as your primary drink, you spend a lot of time in the Caribbean then?
Correct.
So... yourself going there, what about that environment keeps calling you back? Obviously, you're drinking rum, but that's not, like, the vibe there is completely different.
Well, we all work hard, and for me, it's getting a balance in life where I relax hard. Mm. So, you know, for me, whether it's in Anguilla with a Pyrex rum, sitting in the most beautiful beach with the waves splashing, it's just a different world.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of us forget to get a balance in life sometimes. So to me, it's putting that balance in life and learning about the history of the place I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in Jamaica 16 times, St. Martin, Guadeloupe, and I'm just fascinated by the people, the food, and the culture. And of course, rum comes along with it.
So when you stay there, do you get an Airbnb? Are you getting a hotel? Like when you're, because the Caribbean is different in regards to the accommodations aren't what we would normally see in North America. So
yeah, no. So a lot of times I'll Airbnb it or I'll rent a hotel or a house, and depends on where I'm going.
Yeah.
So to me is, you know, I've eaten at fancy restaurants and I've eaten on the sidewalk with 9 people in the same pot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about experiencing everything that a local would do as well. I've you know, in Dominican, I've drank stuff that probably no one else would drink. They give you your bottles and they're unlabeled.
Right.
And during Prohibition, it was over 10,000 people went blind because when you make rum, it's the heads, tails, and you only have the heart. So a lot of people don't even take it out and they don't realize.
Right.
So I've drank some amazing stuff at different places that I'm sure not a lot of people have been, and I'm just absolutely fascinated by it.
Yeah. I have a question. You ever drink Mama Wama?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in my book, and I went to the place where they actually make it.
Oh, cool.
And that's in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
And of course they say it makes you, they'll always try to sell you and say, man good, make you hard and strong, but they're just selling it. But I didn't take no chances, so I had to buy 2 bottles.
Yeah.
So they mix the rum with some wood chips and some red wine and honey.
Yeah.
It's one of the big sellers that down there for tourists for sure.
There we go. Well, listen, Tanner just tapped his watch, so unfortunately we were out of time. That being said, before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shame shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
I think for me, it's not about rum, it's about the stories and the histories. And right now, my book, Rum 101 for Dummies, is leading on 6 different categories on Amazon. So it's doing very well, and there's, you know, there's people from Barbados, United States, all over the world have read it and liked it, and they like the Newfoundland humor and the comedy, and the fact that the stories related to people here in Fort McMurray, I think is really cool. So, you know, my goal is to be a best-selling author, and I think this one here is going to help me along with that journey.
There we go. That's awesome, man. Well, Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout-out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi everyone, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.